I'm Aaron, that's Will. We are bringing you the passion, tradition, and drama of college football to listeners down under. Because we fucking love college football.
They hand it off to Johnson. Boise State has won the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. Can you believe it?
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Hello again and welcome to College Football Down Under. My name is Aaron Kemp, and as always I'm joined by Will Muirden. How's it going today, Will?
It's going good, man. How are you?
I'm good. English Jess is giving me grief at the moment, but managing to keep a lid on things. Sports season's coming to an end, so now I just sit and watch TV on every Sunday, and she really loves that I don't spend any time with her.
What do you mean sports season's coming to an end? So you've got all this spare time to be doing that with her during the week, and then we can spend all Sunday watching football.
That sounds good. I wish that was the case, and hopefully it will be this week. I mean, I know you've got a grand final coming up this week, so...
Yes, I do.
Good luck with that. Thanks, first buddy.
No, we got spanked last year.
Oh, sorry for reminding you of that.
Thanks for bringing that up. Appreciate it.
First win, I mean, is what I meant to say.
It will be, yes.
Okay. Perfect. Fingers crossed. Well, all the best with that one. Today on the show, we're going to be having a look at some previews, obviously, of this week's big matchups. We hit the chalkboard again to have a bit of a chat about bowl games in college football. We hit our weekly bowl predictions, which at some stage, one of us is going to hit on one of those. You went close on the Penn State, Appalachian State, but I would just love to go close, like get within the vicinity.
I hope I get mine right this week.
Yours is going to be out there, isn't it?
You're not going to like it.
Am I even going to lose to Toledo? here we go. And then we're going to go on the punt with Will to hopefully make some money again.
More money.
Okay. This week, first slate of Wednesday and Thursday night games to start. So usually these games are occupied by the ACC team. So Boston College play Wake Forest. And I saw you can still get tickets for those. For $3 a piece.
$3.
$3 to get will get you in the gate at Winston-Salem if you want to head to Boston College and Wake Forest.
I'd pay $3.
I'd pay $3 too. But the plane flight might cost a little more than that.
I tell you what though, if you have to pay, I think, like $10 to come in and watch my grand final or $3 to go and watch, I know what I would choose.
Yeah, well, I won't be paying $10 to go and see you play. So this week, potentially a better slate of games than the last. Still a little bit quiet before conference games really kick off. We do have one or a couple of big conference games this week, but, you know, majority of those kick off in a few weeks.
We've also got that pesky hurricane floating around that's throwing a spanner in the works by the looks of things.
Yeah, we do. Hurricane Florence has cancelled, effectively, the West Virginia NC State game. UCF versus North Carolina and East Carolina versus Virginia Tech as well. Shades of last year as well happened down in the south on that eastern side or southeastern side of the states. This time of the year, you get a lot of hurricanes coming through. And as a result, games do get cancelled while people hunker down and try and withstand those. Now, I know you didn't hear any hurricanes in Oklahoma, but tornado warnings were a thing.
Yes, no, definitely had a situation where I was excited. Like, yeah. I, having been the naive, you know, young Australian that I am, I've never seen a tornado.
Young.
I was. I wanted the full experience while I was there.
Growing up watching Twister.
Exactly right, yeah. Is that Helen Hunt?
Yeah, she is in it.
Brilliant film. Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton, yes.
Man, that's a ripper. Anyways, love the film, love the idea of tornado. So I'm over there, like, really excited. Like, yeah, they're saying that, you know, this could be tornado-like weather. I'm like, beautiful, bring it on. And people are like, no, you do not want this. This is not something you want. It is terrifying for anyone who's been anywhere near that. So... One night, we're sitting in, watching some football in the apartment that I was living in, and it essentially takes over the TV. It's like full tornado warning. Your area, your county, whatever it is in like dire concern of touchdown tornado. So I'm walking around the place like, this is happening. We're on here. Like, I have no idea where the tornado shelter is, but I got a bathtub. I guess I'll just jump in there. So having a few brewskis, enjoying some football, watching on the TV, like it goes to the top corner and shows stuff happening there. Then all of a sudden, without a word of a lie, the place starts shaking. And I'm like, this is it. It's happening. Oh my God. My roommates run out like shitting themselves, terrified. All of a sudden, stops to shake. And we just happened to have an earthquake at the exact same time that this is all happening. Legitimate, like, the only real earthquake I've felt in my life, when I thought we had a nearby tornado just rattling the windows. So
if you want natural disasters, head to Oklahoma, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know. It was great fun. Good story now. I don't know about this whole hurricane thing. I think sometimes they're a little bit precious about it, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, dangerous.
I don't know.
Maybe anyway, we will move on, and hopefully the people, or I care about the people's well-being over in the Carolinas and the Virginias, so you guys stay safe over there. Although Will doesn't share that sentiment.
Just man up.
Okay, let's jump straight onto the chalkboard. And today we're going to have a quick chat about bowl games, why they exist, and how they operate. So historically speaking, I say that term a lot, historically speaking. Historically, conferences claimed, like we said last week, when their conferences, they claim national championships. And we got to a stage where multiple teams each year were claiming the national championship because they won their particular conference. As a solution to finding out, well, who actually was the best team, these conferences started playing off against each other in bowl games. And those bowl games became really, really big, really traditional, and something to be celebrated each year. And it was, while it was really, really important to win your conference, winning a bowl game became that extra kind of cherry on top to celebrate your really successful season. It was also a really good way to determine whether a team in California, who was the best in their conference, could match up against a team in, say, the south of, you know, Georgia, Alabama, Florida. And who's actually better out of those? Because just because you dominate your conference in California, does that make you the best team in the nation? Well, not necessarily. There's teams that win their conferences all the time that would get absolutely creamed by, you know, a bigger team from a bigger conference. So started introducing bowl games, and we're now down to about a million bowl games. There's always some ridiculous sponsors that get involved to create these situations where different teams get to play off against each other. You need to win 6 games in a season to become bowl eligible. So every team that wins 6 games is eligible to be included in a bowl. It doesn't necessarily mean they get to play in one. The bowls themselves determine who plays. And those bowl games determine our overall national champion. There's the big ones, the Rose Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, though not as prestigious, the Orange Bowl, and they're part of
the Sugar Bowl.
The Sugar Bowl is the other one. And then there's the National Championship game, which kind of get put under this umbrella of the New Year's Six bowl games. And those games eventually go on to determine who wins college football overall.
Yeah, I think the bowl game's probably been diluted a bit over time as they've introduced more. I think now it's kind of a bit gimmicky. There's a hell of a lot of games that are played. I think it's great that teams have got something to fight for who are in that middle rung. So those, you know, you want to fight for that 6-win, 7-win season to get yourself to a bowl game. If you're in the 8 or 9, you want to fight to get to a better bowl game. Part of that linked with these bowl games is that the players are given gifts associated with the bowl game, and the more prestigious the bowl game, the better the gifts that the players receive. So, I mean, you're looking at, you know, 70 to 110 kids as part of the program all receiving gifts as part of this bowl extravaganza. So not only are you traveling to wherever the game is held and having, you know, a good time while you're down there, they receive, you know, PlayStations, Xboxes,
jewelry,
a whole bunch of stuff. I know my roommate, when he was there and they went to the Fiesta Bowl, he got a full recliner lounge suite.
Really?
Yeah, it was badass. He brought it in the apartment. I'm like, this is so cool.
Get to bowl games.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's that, but at the same time, I don't think it's a great use or a good tool to determine who is the better football team a lot of the time at the end of the year. I think for the games that matter, yeah, 100%, that's the best way of doing it. But for some of them, it's more about enjoying themselves, having a bit of party, going out drinking. And
yeah, I mean, especially if you're from, like, I don't know, I don't mean to pick on Boise or Stillwater, Oklahoma, and maybe if you're from Oklahoma and you haven't actually got out of, you know, those kind of Big 12 teams before, but you get a chance to go to the Pinstripe Bowl and go to New York for a week, you know, and get to spend some time there.
You can do some damage. You can have some fun.
You're probably not taking your football real seriously then. And for a lot of these kids, potentially as well, they come from pretty tough backgrounds and don't get a chance to travel. So they get an opportunity to visit another part of their country and see different places, different people, have new experiences. And the football becomes potentially a bit of a sideshow for that. And that's not just for them, but for lots of teams. Like if you're an Alabama and all of a sudden you lose three games in a season and you're used to going to the national championship and you all of a sudden end up in the Texas Go Daddy hot dog stand bowl, you're not going to take that particularly serious because that's not of great value to you. If you're a team that perennially doesn't make a bowl game and you get to that same game, you're going to be doing your best probably to win it. So there is some disproportion with the seriousness taken within those. So yeah, that gives you a bit of a look at bowl games, why they exist and why they're played, and hopefully it is to gain a little bit of clarity over the course of a season to see who is in fact the best team, which, like Will said, happens at the top end, potentially not so much in the middle aspect of college football. If you've got any questions about bowl games, hit us up on Twitter and on Instagram at College Football Down Under. We'd be more than happy to have a bit more of a chat about it and bring a little bit more information about those, and we'll certainly talk about those more as the season develops and as the voting for college football championship or the college football semifinal comes out. All right, let's jump into some previews for this week. We've got three big games. We'll have a look at LSU at Auburn, Boise State at Oklahoma, and Ohio State and TCU
at Oklahoma State.
We will start, what did I say?
You said OU. It's a different model altogether.
I didn't. Oklahoma State, sorry. So why don't we start there, Will? Why don't we start Boise State at Oklahoma State?
My boys, big ranked matchup this week. The, what are we coming at? 24 ranked Oklahoma State Cowboys.
Yes.
Matching up with number 17 ranked Boise State Broncos.
First and last time the Cowboys will be ranked all year.
Don't know about that. Think that's a bit optimistic, but on your part. But this one really looks like it's going to be absolute barn burner. Two teams who are putting up plenty of points to start the year. Lot to like about both of the squads. I'm really looking forward to this. Depending on how the grand final goes for me, I don't know if I'm going to get to watch it. It's a 5 a.m. kickoff here locally, so is an early one. Going to be hard work, but that said, I'm really interested to see how the boys go because this is going to be their first real test against a solid outfit. Being played in Stillwater, which I think will definitely help us, but Boise State have senior quarterback in Brett Rippon, who has been lighting it up. I mean, he's gone for over 650 yards so far and 7 touchdowns, hasn't thrown a pick. He's looking like he could be a pro prospect at the end of the year, and that's going to be the first, you know, serious challenge that our defense is going to come up against because it's a real step up in class.
Well, Brett Rippon's been there for about 10 years. I think he started as like a true freshman or maybe a redshirt freshman, and he's had 4 years starting. So, he looks to be a really, really good one for them. And I think Boise State are good. They put up over 800 yards last week. You guys put up over 600 yards last week. So there's going to be, the ball's going to get moved up and down that field at Stillwater. It's still never easy traveling. Although having said that, Boise love this sort of game. They just love going in as a kind of semi-underdog, big stage. They will always say that they're the perennial battler and the perennial underdog, and then go in there and actually do a really, really good job. Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of points put up. I think Oklahoma State, only because it's at home, I think this was, if this was played over at Boise, I think they would probably get the nod. But Oklahoma State at home, I think Tyler Cornelius has done a really good job so far.
Taylor, the corn dog.
The corn dog. And hopefully Justice Hill can get going as well. And your receivers, although a little bit, not unrecognizable, but certainly smaller names compared to last year, are doing a good job on the outside as well. And it appears to be the team that can play some defense will probably win that game.
Yeah, I mean, we got weapons at receiver. The two that you're probably referring to, Tylan Wallace and Tyron Johnson, who both had massive games last week. But then there's Dylan Stoner, there's McCleskey. There's a whole range of dudes who can get the job done there. What I'm interested to see from Oklahoma State is if they can get the run game going. That's probably been the disappointing thing the first 2 weeks. They really haven't been able to engage that. They've got a bevy of good backs, headlined by Justice Hill. He hasn't been carrying a whole heap. I think they've been, you know, quite lenient in how much playing time they've given him in these lead-up games, with a full expectation of him having a heavy workload through conference play. But that said, the touches that he's had, he hasn't been able to do a lot so far. So they're definitely going to need to get more out of that ground game if we want to be competing this year at, you know, for the Big 12 and this week against a very good Boise State team.
Yeah, Boise State continue to be the best team coming out of that group of five, and they will make some noise this year, and they'll be pushing up into that upper echelon of teams and be pushing for one of those big bowl games that we were talking about earlier in the year.
For sure.
All right, let's jump across to LSU at Auburn, which is a big SEC West clash, the first kind of big clash of the year. So number 12 LSU go up against number 7 Auburn. Auburn go in as heavy, heavy favorites actually, and you would think would appear to have the answers for that LSU offense that has been pretty systematic. Joe Burrow has done a pretty good job there running that offense. They got a hold of Miami week one, but it's week one, so I'm curbing my enthusiasm about LSU around that. But last week there was some, you know, the LSU fans, while they got away with a pretty easy win, their offense wasn't exactly exciting. It wasn't less necessarily dominating. And I think there'll be a few concerns that this Auburn defense, and both defenses are really good, both defensive lines will be really good, that LSU may have some trouble moving the ball.
Yeah, you're spot on. That's going to be, well, from the outset, what dictates this game is whether LSU can get anything going on offense or not. I think defensively, they're right there with them. Obviously, Jarrett Stidham for Auburn is a known quantity. He can move the ball. He's going to get some yards. They are going to score. LSU, we don't know. From the effort that we saw last week against a FCS side where, yeah, they scored, but they left a lot of points on the field. They weren't convincing in any fashion. Coming up against a team that we've kind of previously referred to as, you know, a top five defense in all of college football, they're really going to need to step it up if they're going to want to be able to compete with them, because Auburn are going to score and their defense is really good. Yeah, LSU will hold them on occasion, but they're going to give up points and they need to be able to score to stay in this game, especially on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not going to be an easy task for them. I think that there's going to be two key aspects. The team that can run the ball better will win, I think. And you can't rely on Jarrett Stidham to pick apart LSU's defense in the same way that you can't rely on Joe Burrow to pick apart that Auburn defense. It's just not going to happen. So the team that can get that running game going. Now on that, Jarrett Stidham went 9 for 25 last year and they got blown out by LSU. So they need to make sure that, that they don't have a repeat of that, and getting that running game going is certainly going to take that a long way. I think Dave Aranda, the LSU defensive coordinator, is going to have them up and about, and Auburn will see some stuff and that they haven't probably dealt with before on that offensive line, and I think it could be a defensive slugfest for both of these teams. I think Auburn get enough out of it offensively and in the red zone. That's going to be the other area. We talked about the run game being critical. Red zone scoring, and we've seen it in the first couple of weeks. A team that does better in the red zone wins the game. And I think, you know, Auburn is going to hold them a little bit more and Auburn get up in this one. I think it'll be close-ish. I would say something like a 10-point margin, something like a, it could be like a 20-30 or 24-14 sort of game. Seems to be about where I think they will finish up.
Okay. Yeah, I think Auburn are going to win. But yeah.
All right. Let's shoot straight across to Ohio State and TCU. Now, this game, although closer for TCU, certainly not a home game. It's played at Jerry World.
It's like next door.
In Arlington, Texas. Yeah, as opposed to a home game, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so the Horned Frogs host Ohio State and certainly will be a TCU home field advantage. Urban Meyer sits out his third of three games suspension as head coach. And it can't be understated that the coaching staff for Ohio State have done a really, really good job in their play calls. They've been pretty immaculate in that respects, which is good for them, and they've got that ball moving. Dwayne Haskins looks really, really good at Ohio State at quarterback, and he doesn't look like he's going to be slowing down at all. So it will be an interesting match to see if this, you know, perennially good TCU team, this team that continues to win 11 games a year, can keep it close against one of the biggest names in college football.
Yeah, I want to be excited for the Big 12 in this one. I want to TCU to have a good showing, but I just don't see it happening. I think Ohio State are going to blow them out here. I think they are a team that are really primed, and whilst they don't have their head coach around, he has been at training. He's just not there on game day. As you said, Dwayne Haskins is killing it. He's looking as good as advertised. And their backfield with Mike Weber and J.K. Dobbins is up there with the best in the nation. And I just don't think that TCU this year have the talent to contend with that. And whilst Gary Patterson is an excellent coach, I think the talent is just going to shine here in the controlled environments of Jerry World, another stadium that we were lucky enough to visit. And Ohio State are really going to get away from them in this one.
Yeah, right. Okay. We are going to disagree here, and I'll have a bit of a chat about this later. I think the other person that I have been impressed with, TCU's new starting quarterback, Sean Robinson, has done a really, really good job this year stepping in for Taysom Hill. Am I getting the right guy there?
I feel like not.
Kenny Hill.
Yeah.
Kenny Hill. Sorry, one of the Hills. One of the Hills who finished at TCU last year. And Sean Robinson, as a sophomore, has come in and done a really, really good job for them. So he should keep that offense humming along just nicely. It'll be, can they stop the run and can they keep Dwayne Haskins quiet enough to give themselves a chance to score enough points to win?
I think it's a different game when you've got someone like Nick Bosa just terrorizing you off the edge all day. Both sides of the ball, Ohio State are scary good.
So are we saying that any of these three games we previewed are going to, you're saying Ohio State TCU is not going to be close? Boise State, Oklahoma State, is that going to be close?
It could be. It could be.
In a shootout?
In a shootout. It'll be high scoring. So percentage-wise, overall points, it might be close, but it you know.
Okay, so you're obviously picking Oklahoma State there.
I am, yes.
And LSU Auburn, close, not close?
I think that one will be close.
Okay.
I think as much as I was talking down LSU's chances, I think they will get it together. I just think Auburn will be better on the day.
Okay, so that gives you a look at the three biggest matchups of this week. Other games you may want to keep an eye on. Duke go to Baylor after a big win against Northwestern. Duke look likely to go in there and beat a Baylor team on the rise. Texas Tech at Houston. We got two high-powered offense. Derek King scored six touchdowns last week and will be looking to do something similar again. So if you like lots of points, that's a game to keep an eye on. USC at Texas. Texas uninspiring.
Yeah, what's that if you really like underwhelming?
Yeah. If you like big powers that can't perform that well at the moment, then maybe that's your game. USC, Texas. They always seem to play some pretty good games, though. I mean, you think of the national championship game where Vince Young ran it in. But they've always played good games, and it always seems to be whatever team is down at that point seems to win. And I would say that Texas is down, but USC scored 3 points last week and got handled pretty comfortably against Stanford. So I don't even know who's the most down out of them. Probably Tom Herman. If he loses that, he's hot seat?
No, he'd be getting there. He'd be getting warmer there. Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is year two. They lost to Maryland. Anytime Texas loses to someone that's not a top 10 ranked team, then that seat starts to warm up.
Yeah, so not that I think that's the best idea. And the last one is Washington at Utah. That may be worth keeping on. Now, I have got Aaron's weekly schedule this week, and Will has really put the heat on me to come up with some scenarios that are actually legitimate to what we're after here. So in terms of following these scenarios, you may need to imagine a little bit, but think closely. Okay.
Buckle in.
Buckle in. So if you're 30, lonely, and still living in your parents' house, and you'll say that it's because house prices are so expensive that even before walking in to talk with a loans consultant, they're declining your application, but actually, it's because you didn't listen in school, and now Fortnite has taken over your life. Now, at 1:30 in the morning, Fortnite has become a little bit boring, so you want to check out some college football.
Okay.
The game's at 1:30. Oklahoma at Iowa State. Iowa State won that game last year. It'll be interesting to see if they can back that up. Losing to Iowa last week in a bit of a dire contest. But that one might be worth keeping an eye on. The last one, at 1:30, Australia's team, Hawaii, at Navy. Two polar opposite offenses. If you want to see lots of yards put up, watch Hawaii. If you want to see the ball run a lot, watch Navy. Okay, that takes us through the 1:30 time slot.
What's next, my man?
Okay, we've got the 5 o'clock kickoff. So you know that really annoying guy who gets up really ever and living every day to the fullest because they survived some semi-life-altering event? They now not only do hours of yoga and exercise and meditate, and it's not that they do these things, but they look at you in a condescending way every time they see you holding a beer or every time that they see you hungover, which is every time that they see you. They are hashtag blessed, hashtag living, and the 5 a.m. time slot is dedicated to them. And that is number 12 LSU at number 7 Auburn. That will be the game of the week, I think, in the SEC. The game that you will be watching very, very closely, however, is the number 17 Boise State Broncos versus number 24 Oklahoma State.
Couple good games at that time.
Yep, and that seems to be the money time slot. I feel like that's the game that is copping all the attention, and that one becomes easier to watch when the clocks change over in just a few weeks. Now, sleep in through until 9:30. If you get to this point and you're in bed, stay sleeping in bed. ESPN will try and tell you that Alabama at Ole Miss will be close, but it won't, so don't bother. If you are super desperate at 9:30, then may or 9 o'clock even, maybe Missouri at Purdue. I'm still banging the drum for Purdue. I've got to stop it, I know. But we're scraping
it. You'll be rock hard through that, won't you? You got Purdue and Drew Locke going toe-to-toe.
I know, I'll be excited. Drew Locke will obviously dominate. Purdue will keep it. Actually, know what? No, I can't even have that. Drew Locke will still be the first one drafted, so he'll throw 5 touchdowns. Purdue will still win. Anyway, let's push on. So the 9:30 game is up next. That's the one you want to watch. Don't bother with the 8:30 Alabama Ole Miss. So this one goes out to the 9:30 crew. If you have a partner who at this time of the year is completely understanding of the role that sport plays in your life, you've just finished football or netball or some other winter sport. Maybe you were lucky enough to win your grand final, like we will do on the weekend, and you've been on a bender for 2 weeks. You eventually roll home, and after 2 weekends of not spending any time with your significant other, all you want to do is curl up on the couch with a pizza and some Powerade. You decide to put on the game, and your partner doesn't question you at all. This 9:30 slot is dedicated to them.
I'm liking the effort you're putting into this. I've laid down the challenge and you have delivered.
I've got a role on this for the rest of the year now as well. Okay, so the 9:30 slot, number 4 Ohio State versus number 15 TCU will definitely be worth a look. Number 22 USC at Texas will be another one. I mean, Texas just have to be better. They have to get better at some stage, right?
Yeah, do they?
I don't know.
I've been thinking that for 10 years.
I'm just hoping that, come on, Texas. Anyway, so that's your 9:30 slot. The last one, it's 11:30. You slept in. That's all. Number 10, Washington at Utah.
I'm so disappointed. Like, I really went early on my praise for you, and then you give me that.
I'm sorry. There's more to come next week, so we'll keep that Aaron's schedule pretty active. But check out the number 10, Washington, Haley's Washington Huskies at Utah. Utah's defense should be good. Washington's defense will be good. So it could be a good game to watch there. And that's always played a little bit closer than what people will think. Okay, now we get into the fun part of the week. We get to have a look at all things gambling. So let's have a look at our Heisman hopeful or wide right washout. I got it in. I said the words correctly. Okay, bold prediction for the week. What's it going to be, Will?
Okay, I think I'm going to flip on the spot here.
Good, I like it, because I was about to bake you for the Miami-Toledo crap that you're about to spill.
Yeah, I was. I was going to go Toledo. I don't know if I'd fully commit to it. I just like the fact that they beat up their FCS team like you guys beat up your FCS team, but I don't know if that's the play this week. So I'm going to steer clear of an upset this week, and I'm going to go for something else more around what you were talking about earlier, because I strongly disagree. My bold prediction this week is that my boy, Jarrett Stidham, is going to have a day against LSU.
Ooh, I like it, actually.
He's going to complete over 70% of his passes.
You're making this up on the spot.
Over 70% of his passes.
Over 70%, right?
He's going to pass for three touchdowns.
I can see your brain ticking over. The cogs are...
And they're going to win. So my boy, Jarrett Stidham.
Over 70%.
Over 70%. Three touchdowns. We'll call it 300 yards too.
That is bold. That's why it's there, I guess.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I hope to see that, because I got no time for LSU. Although I did love going to Baton Rouge. That was one of the coolest nights. That was awesome. That was wicked. My bold prediction is going to be, and I know you're going to disagree vehemently with this one because you are big on Ohio State and you think they're going to blow them out. I'm going to say that TCU will lead at every change but lose to Ohio State.
Take that one to the punters.
So I'm going to say they get out of the blocks and then get mowed down, pretty much, is what I'm saying.
Okay. I don't hate that as a pick. I don't think it's going to happen.
Bold prediction, mate.
But I like where your head's at with coming up with that. So that'll be an interesting one. And going off of your past form, quarter time, that's going to be out the window.
No.
Ohio State will be 30 points up.
Yeah, exactly. It'll probably be the other way around. TCU will fumble on their two first drives and then it'll be over. Okay, let's jump on that note. Let's jump straight onto the punt. Will, hopefully you've got some big picks ready to go this week.
Yeehaw! I am here to bring you winners. Yes, sir, I am.
Makes me giggle every time.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
You're pushing the buttons over there. And
all that much better when I'm coming in with winning form too.
Okay.
Feeling good, filling the coffers. I mean, not huge win yet, but we're building.
Okay, well, I'm going to disagree, because anytime I agree with you, I think we don't go so well. So
yeah, but I mean, last week we were somewhat on the level together and managed to... get a win.
We've probably got, what, 2 50-cent coins to rub together now?
It just depends on how much you're willing to bet around how much money we're going to make. So this week, I'm a little disappointed. The Hurricane Florence has thrown a bit of a spanner in my works.
What were you going to have?
I really like the look of West Virginia over NC State.
To cover, I'm assuming.
Yes, yeah. So they were a 3.5 point favorite.
Is that all?
Yes. quite a tight line there, and I thought that they were going to cover that quite comfortably.
I would agree.
I believe they're a good side. So that's obviously no longer available on the table. So I've had to shuffle things around here, but I'm still feeling really good. Only three picks this week. One big money play for a straight up, and this is a pick 'em game. So no line on offer for this matchup. But the one that's going to make us all this money this week that I want you to back is UCLA to beat Fresno.
Oh, no way.
It's happening.
Is it?
It's being played at home for UCLA against a Fresno team who's coming back from Minnesota, having dropped the game out there. Even line, I'm taking UCLA all day.
Yeah, I don't know. I was actually quite impressed with Fresno. I thought they did a good job moving the ball on offense, and they pushed Minnesota tight in an away game. And like you said, a long, long, long way to travel. But gee, what do we got here? I mean, for your benefit, it is a 12 o'clock kick. So it is midday, so it just shortens things up a little bit. Fresno go in as favorites, and rightly so.
I have taken it at evens.
Okay.
So if you can get points for UCLA, sure, take them. But I think they're going to win this match.
Chip Kelly would be happy with that, I reckon.
They struggled early, had a poor first outing against Cincinnati, and then came up against a good Oklahoma side last week. This week, they're ripe for a bounce back, and I think they still have plenty of talent there. Chip Kelly will get the job done, and they will beat Fresno. So I'm putting 6 units on this match.
Whoa.
Throwing it down. We're going to make all of our money on this game, and then the rest will be gravy.
This is on a team that averages 19 points a game and 136 yards rushing. Interesting.
Just ready to get going. We're backing in the talent.
I strongly disagree.
Next game.
Ignoring me.
Moving along. We are going to take a heavy underdog on the road against a top 10 side. We're looking at taking Vanderbilt.
What?
Plus.
What? Go Doors.
Plus 14 and the hook. Anchor down against Notre Dame.
What?
Hear me out.
Okay, I'm listening.
Notre Dame's offense ain't all that.
I don't disagree. I like that. I like that. But neither's Vandy's.
Vandy's defense isn't half bad.
Okay.
Vanderbilt keep this close enough to keep within 2 touchdowns.
Okay. Kyle Sherman needs to have a day out.
He needs to have a day out if they want to win. It just needs to be within 2 scores. And I think Vandy do that easy. Okay. I really like the look of this matchup for the Doors, and I'm going to throw 3 units on that.
Okay.
So, UCLA, 6 units, Vandy on the road, plus 14.5, 3 units. I'm going to throw out 1 more unit to round it out.
This would be good if you're only throwing 1 unit on it.
This one's a little bit of a homer pick here for the show. But we're going to get behind Australia's team.
Oh, go on.
We're getting on Hawaii. We're taking them plus 6.5. But we're also looking at the over. So we're going plus 6.5 and over 63.5 points.
Whoa.
At $4, we'll get that. And we'll chuck 1 unit on that.
Yeah, I mean, not a bad shout. They are Hawaii's averaging nearly 50 points a game. Army are averaging 26. So there definitely is a possibility of that happening. I think for that to happen, Hawaii need to get up early and they need to continue to score. I think if Army get ahead, they'll choke the clock and things will get in trouble for Hawaii. But it's played at West Point as well, so a bit of travelling there for the Rainbow Warriors.
And the midday game. So they've got a bit going against them here, but they're travelling well.
I mean, they are. And they're Australia's team. So who am I to pick against Australia's team?
Exactly right. So all the listeners out there, let's get on board that one. In summary, UCLA to win, 6 units at home, easy money. We've got Vandy on the road plus 14.5. They'll cover that, 3 units there. And then we're jumping on the Hawaii bandwagon. We're taking them plus 6.5, and it's going to go over the 63.5. Throwing a unit there.
Okay. Of course, Miami to win, Oklahoma State to win as well. In a big game of, you know, a couple of big games of college football in week 3. That brings us to the end of our preview show for this week. Again, get us on Twitter, get us on Instagram at College Football Down Under.
Hold up, my man. We've forgotten something.
What have we forgotten?
It's championship draft time.
Oh, God.
Just because you are sitting over there with your stable, feeling comfortable, happy with what you've got, doesn't mean that there's not some action still in play in this.
Regardless of whether you are following the championship draft or not, please make sure you do follow us on Twitter and do follow us on Instagram at College Football Down Under. Either way, great segue though, Will. Well done.
We would really appreciate it.
Yeah, we need all the help we can get. Now, of course, you turfed Texas last week.
I did.
And I'm going to obviously stay pat here and
so you're picking first, you're staying steady.
I am with my Clemson Georgia, who look really good. I don't think I'll be turfing them. Clemson Georgia Oklahoma look really strong. Wisconsin look unbeatable in the Big Ten at this stage, so I've got no reason to throw out any of them. You've thrown Texas aside, and the fact that you've pushed really hard to get the championship draft in here means one of the your Big Ten teams is on the way out, I assume.
Yes, and it's not Ohio State. So I'm happy with Bama. Ohio State is the best team in the Big Ten, but whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm also sitting on Notre Dame, who I brought in last week.
Who you've now just picked. Oh, Vandy to cover. Sorry, my bad.
To cover. They weren't convincing, having brought them into the fold. I was hoping for a bit more
Brandon Wimbush luster. Is really good. Those 3 interceptions, really.
But I'm not willing to write them off yet.
I'm just going to keep bragging about that. Anyway.
With Michigan's loss 2 weeks ago, time for them to go. So moving them out of my stable. And I'm going to bring in a unit from the Pac-12 this week. Show them a bit of love out there. After a solid performance last week against another Pac-12 power, I'm welcoming Stanford into the mix. I like the way that they shape up. They've got a really good running back. They're an intelligent team. You like that?
Yeah, I did like that. I mean, yeah, they're smart, Will. That, I don't know how that helps you on the football field.
They're well coached, and I will happily welcome them into the squad. So we'll see how things go from there.
Interesting. I like Stanford at the start of the year. I think they win the Pac-12 South, and I think I still think Washington probably gets them overall in the Pac-12, but their early season loss to Auburn puts a little bit of doubt on their ability to make the college football semifinal. Not a bad pick. I don't mind it. I just think they're off the pace in terms of the other teams. Having said that, they're better than Michigan, so I don't have a problem with that at all. I still feel like you've got a gap there that you are desperate to fill, and there's no one that can possibly fill it for you.
Whoa, you don't need to ride off the whole West Coast like that.
I mean, they're okay. They're okay. They're not getting it done in the semi-final. Okay, on again, a reminder, get us on Twitter, get us on Instagram at College Football Down Under. Leave us a 5-star review on your podcast carrier of choice. On behalf of English Jess, my name's Aaron, that's Will, and we will see you next time.